Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
First of all, when we come into a church, one of the things is God is here in this sanctuary, and one of the things I think of is, O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The greatest name on this planet is the name of God. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. All right? In all of our life and every day, sometimes we're looking for a new start in our Christian experience. And the question is asked today, are you looking for a new start today? Okay, if you are, we're going to see how to go about it. When you want to change, it's usually more of a need than a desire. In talking in the Sabbath school class this morning, you mentioned, the health. That usually when somebody has a problem, whether it's a heart attack or blood sugar out of control or whatever it is, then you go to the hospital. And the doctor will tell you, you need to change your lifestyle. You need to do this, or you need to do that. Then it's more of a need when the alcoholic person has reached the bottom and is going as far as he can. Then they realize, I need to change. I'm too young. I don't want to die yet. I need to change my lifestyle. And so it's a need. We need to improve ourselves, especially in the spiritual area of our lives. And I'm thinking that this sermon is just not for you. This sermon is for me, because I need this. As I was preparing this sermon and put it together, I realized that I need to improve. I need to get closer to Christ. I need to be strengthened. David realized the benefits of God's daily blessing in Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with the benefits, the God of our salvation. For me and for us, what it means help to overcome our burdens. We all face burdens every day. He never leaves us. Isn't that a wonderful promise? That God never leaves us nor forsakes us. And that is good news. David, you remember David? Prayed. David prayed daily. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. The question I ask myself, and you may ask yourself, is it enough to pray once a day? You get up in the morning and you have your quick devotion with the Lord and you may be off to work. And that's it. And the day goes by and you come home from work and you're all tired and everything. Do you pray again? Do you think of God, spending a few moments with him? If you don't, if not, why, and what are the benefits? Remember Daniel in chapter 6, verse 10? Daniel in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks to God. Now, I don't always remember if I do 3 times a day or not, but he was very, very faithful about praying to God. Even with the threat of being cast into the lion's den, he did not give in to the king's decree that all should bow down and worship this statue. Daniel didn't. He was praying to the true God, and he stood fast. How much time do we spend in prayer? How much time do we spend reading the Bible? A question I ask, and years ago in Saginaw Church we used to do that, and they haven't done it for a long time, and I don't know about the Midland Church. I haven't seen it here. How many of you remember back in the the day, I can't say the old days, I got to say the day, when they used to ask, the Sabbath school teachers used to ask, how many of you studied your Sabbath school lesson? Would you raise your hand? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand today, but that was the question. How many of you study your Sabbath school lesson daily? You know, when we come to Sabbath school, it isn't just to listen to the teacher teach. We are to participate in the class. And so take time. Read your Bible. God may be speaking to you. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? That's the thing I like about the Bible and God's words, is that there are many wonderful promises in there for us. No matter what kind of things we are going through, God has words for us that will comfort us. It says, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You have to let God know what you want, right? And then it says, this is my favorite verse, and I encourage you to memorize different verses. Because you know what? I got one of these little cell phones too, you know? And I carry it around all the time because my wife may want to call me, I want to call her, or whatever. But you ever have your phone when it didn't work? Your phone ever go out on you? Jeremiah 33:3 says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Okay? Memorize that. That's the Lord's telephone number, Jeremiah 33:3. And you don't have to worry about the power going out, the phone not working, what time of day or night it is, because if you call that number, He's going to answer. He's going to answer. That's a promise for us. The Lord is acquainted with all of our circumstances. No matter what our circumstances are, God is acquainted with them. Too often, we set our mind on things, on earthly things, don't we? But more, we ought to set our minds on things above, not on things of the earth. This earth is on a destruction course. We need to set our mind on heavenly things. When the Ethiopian was reading from the scriptures as he rode in his chariot, angels of God were looking upon the scene. One of the disciples was sent to meet the chariot, and when he came to the place, he saw the man studying the scriptures. And Philip said to him, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, How can I unless someone explains it to me? Then Philip opened to him the scriptures, and when he had heard and believed, the Ethiopian asked, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? The Lord cares for His people. It was the Spirit of God that led this man's mind to the scriptures. Remember, he was in the temple and he was just traveling, going home in his chariot from the temple. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Sometime He may not be near. We are living in the end times. Sometime the Lord is going to say, it is finished. And it'll be too late. So call on Him while He's near. John 16:13, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you. I'm in this church today. I used to be a Catholic. But I'm in this church today, this Adventist church, is because the Holy Spirit led me to the scriptures. And as I read the scriptures, He gave me the truth. God will guide us into all truth. David praised God daily. Psalm 66, 1 and 2. Make a joyful noise, shout to the Lord, all the earth, sing out his honor, of his name, make his praise glorious. Do we praise God daily, or do we just take him for granted? You know, sometimes I take my wife for granted. Have you ever taken your wife for granted, or your wife take your husband for granted? You know? And just to think that we think every day we're going to get up, we're going to breathe fresh air, and it's going to be another good day. Right? Same thing over and over again. And so after a while, you just take those things for granted. I see the sun come up, I see the sun go down. And I expect it the next day to do the same thing. God is giving us blessings each and every day. He's speaking to each one of our hearts each and every day. Do we take him for granted? We cannot but see with our eyes, feel with the spirit, hear or touch the things of God without knowing that he created all things for mankind. Praise should flow freely from his lips. And David had his problems. He had his troubles that people were after him. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would wallow me up, fighting all day. He oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day long, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. You ever picture yourself as David? The evil forces are out there, and they're attacking you. That's the time we need to cry out for the Lord. You know, in Ephesians 6, 11, and 12, it says to put on the whole armor of God that you may fight against the wiles of the devil. So we have to put on armor. But David learned the secret that he needed to rely on God. How often? Daily. Do we rely on God daily? Psalm 56, 3 and 4. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. And sometimes, you know, you're in a series of meetings and you're hearing about the end time events. And one of those is the time of trouble. Do you ever worry about the time of trouble? If you'll be persecuted, thrown into jail, or whatever? But we ought to be at the point that we need not worry. That if we are in the arms of Christ, Christ says he will protect us. And so, no matter what flesh does to me, I know that the end result is one day that I will see my Savior. Just like Daniel and David, we need to put our trust in Christ. In 1 John 5:20, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding that we may know him who is true in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. Could Christ have made it on his own? He was born into this world, born in a stable, took on human nature. He could not, even though the baby Jesus grew up into Christ, he could not depend on his own power while in the flesh. He couldn't do it. Could Judas, you remember Judas, one of the 12 disciples? Could Judas depend on his own nature, his own power? What happened when Judas looked inward instead of outward, and the results ended up with him taking his own life? That's what guilt can do. Remember, he took the 30 pieces of silver back and threw them back at him. I don't want anything to do with this money now. I don't want anything to do with it. But the guilt was so heavy upon him that he went out. He took his own life. Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on what? Why is it bad to lean on your own understanding? Anybody tell me. Why is it bad to lean on your own understanding? You don't know. You don't know everything. Sometimes do we make decisions and we go down this path, you know, and then sometimes we get into trouble and realize, hey, I should have listened to my wife or I should have listened to somebody else and not done that. But we need to trust in the Lord, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You know, how many of you got a GPS? Most of you do. You got a phone, you got a GPS, or you got one in your car. You know that the GPSs, sometimes it's not good to relay on them 100%, because a GPS sometimes can lead you into a dark alley, right? But I know a GPS that comes up above, from above, that says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Follow me, and you'll be on the right path. You know? We are living in a mixed-up world. People are running to and fro upon the face of the earth. Knowledge shall be increased. And I had to go into detail and get another text to go with this from Amos 8:12. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east they shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord. And not find it. Kind of scary, isn't it? Seeking the word of the Lord and not find it. We are living in a mixed up world. People are running to and fro. Seven simple biblical prescriptions for a spiritual renewal. Acknowledge your need. Sometimes that's hard. That's hard to do it. That we don't want to acknowledge our need. But we need to do that. This is taken from Mark chapter 9. Remember the demon-possessed man that was healed? The disciples were there. And they could not heal him, so they brought him to Jesus. And in verse 23 of chapter 9, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You ever think about that? Lord, I believe you're up there, but I'm still lacking in my faith. Help me with my unbelief. The father did believe in Jesus' ability to heal his son, but he confessed his faith wasn't at the level he knew it should be. So he cried out to Jesus, help. Help me overcome my unbelief. You, I, know full well if you need a spiritual revival. And the Lord knows it too. We can't hide it from the Lord. You will do well to voice your needs to the Lord. You know, your conscience, the Holy Spirit works trying to reach my conscience, your conscience. You need to confess and say, Lord, I do love you. I really do. But I'm kind of dry right now, and I need your help to recover my joy. Ask the Lord, number two here. Ask the Lord for a personal revival. Ask and you shall what? receive. In essence, you're saying, Lord, I want revival, but it will have to start with a revival in my own heart, and only you can cause that to happen. Psalms 51, 1 through 4, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Here David's talking after the affair with Bathsheba, asking for forgiveness. What are we asking the Lord to do for us? Psalms 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Then he says, do not cast me away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. I need the Holy Spirit to guide me and teach me. Seek God to forgive, to cleanse, and to burn out the chaff in your life. This, of course, applies broadly to all of us who fall short of Jesus' stature. You mentioned in your personal ministry's time you have a communion next week. In communion, it says, let each one examine themselves. Each one examine his own work. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Before we have communion, it doesn't have to be communion. It could be any day, any time. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Like the Song of Solomon, little foxes that spoil the vine, even seemingly small, often hidden areas of carnal nature can spoil our own personal vineyards. Is it possible I have a sin that I don't confess before the Lord? Or you have a sin, you don't think it's so awful bad, and you haven't confessed it before the Lord? One little hidden sin can spoil the whole vine, can spoil the whole chances of getting into heaven, eternal life, unless that sin is confessed. With all your heart and all your soul and your mind, cry out to God, and this can be a springboard to personal awakening, spiritual renewal, and growth. Everyone in this church, everyone in the Saginaw Church, in every church there is, do you know there's sinners in the church? There's sinners. Where does the sick come for help? They come to the hospital. The church is the hospital. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we come to worship together and ask the Lord to forgive us, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert to these. Remember Moses in the desert for 40 years? To humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Are you recognizing God's humbling and testing and teaching in your life? You may be experiencing hard times in your personal desert. But not all hard times are blamed on the devil. Sometimes God, in his all-knowing wisdom, is humbling us. He's testing us and teaching us in the midst of troubling circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoicing in the Lord is a powerful prescription for recovery from a downward emotional or spiritual spiral. You want to be walking on those steps? Where are those steps leading to? Huh? To heaven. Now, I could have had a ladder up there and had Jacob's ladder, but we got the steps instead. But they're leading to heaven. If you are feeling spiritually dry, cast down, or stagnant, determine to rejoice in your heart before the Lord. Determine that in your heart. Don't dwell on your circumstances, but rather in Him, God. Praise Him. Worship Him. Declare to Him how blessed and glad you are to have Him as your Heavenly Father, to have Him as your friend. Verse 27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Conscientiously cast your cares on the Lord, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. And this takes personal discipline. Much relief can come to our souls as we deliberately cast our cares upon the Lord, asking Him to resolve them and bring aid and comfort and encouragement to us. He will do that. If we don't do this, the opposite process often takes place, and we are choked with the cares of this life, and we are choked by life's worries. Then our spiritual growth takes a back seat to the stresses of modern life. And the ones that fell among the thorns are those, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But, there's always a but, isn't there? But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Ezekiel 36:26-27, he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a new heart. Isn't that good news? Christ is willing to take this hard-hearted of stone and renew it. Okay, for once you were in darkness, but now you are in light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Do you know that Lighthouse is very popular around the Great Lakes? But lighthouses, one little light guides the ships, right? Now, when you light a light, there's a light right here. I don't know how many 100-watt bulbs they had in there. But you see it. We turn off all the lights and just have a little candle light from a distance. Can you still see that little light? We are the little candles. We all have a little light. And God can see that light. And if our light is burning, others can see that light. They can see that we are walking with Jesus, that we are children of the light. If you haven't already been baptized with the Spirit, ask Jesus for a rekindling in you of the fire you once felt. Rekindling that fire. We have a wood stove and we burn wood and I love the heat from it. But every so often the wood burns down, you know, and all you got is some little ashes there. Well, this morning I asked my wife if she'll rekindle, get the fire going again, and she's pretty good at it, getting the fire going again. But sometimes the flames burn down and they're about ready to go out. Do we ask Jesus to come and rekindle that fire within our heart to keep us going, to give us the flames? Now, this is the summary of the principles for spiritual renewal. As we said, acknowledge your need. You have to do that first. Like David, oh Lord, he cried out many times in the book of Psalms, help me, help me, help me. Acknowledge your need. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. 2, seek the Lord. You have to do something. The Lord's right here, but you have to do something. You have to go to him. You have to seek him out. And then, will you not revive us again? Pursue forgiveness and cleansing from all sin. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. Consider if God is perhaps humbling, testing, and teaching you in your current desert experience. And I mentioned in the Sabbath school, sometimes we go through hard times in our lives because we got to remember there's two things in this world, the evil and the good, are fighting against one another. And sometimes in life, we get into accidents, car accidents, or we get into sickness or whatever. Sometimes it's at those points, lowest points, that we reach out to God and say, God, help me. God doesn't always work that way. He works in all different kinds of ways. But if you experience any hard stress, any hard times in your life, you know, it says in the Bible that all things work together for the good of those who what? Who love the Lord. Now it came to pass, Genesis 22, 1 and 2, after these things that God tested Abraham, take now your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer them as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. You think that was a hard thing to do? For God to come to Abraham and say, Abraham, I want you to take your son Isaac. I want you to take him up there on the hill, on the mountain. Lay him down on an altar. And then I want you to take that knife or whatever it was and kill him. That was a testing time for Abraham. But he followed through. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Seek to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit. Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, this is just a quick little illustration that you can read on the screen here. The story is told of a young student who went to a spiritual teacher and asked the question, Master, how can I truly find God? And the teacher asked the student to accompany him to the river, which ran by the village, and invited him to go into the water. When they got to the middle of the stream, the teacher says, "Please, immerse yourself in the water." And the student did as he was instructed, whereupon the teacher put his hands on the young man's head and held him under the water. What happens under the water when you're under the water? Can't breathe, can you? Presently, the student began to struggle. The master held him under still. A moment passed, and the student was thrashing with beating the water and air with his arms. Still, the master held him under the water. Finally, the student was released and shot up from the water, lungs aching and gasping for air. And the teacher waited a few moments, then said, "When you desire God as truly as you desire to breathe the air you just breathed, then you will find God." Then, are you seeking? Are you searching for God today? If you are tired of living without a spiritual passion or zeal for God, if you are tired of just going through the motions, knowing deep down inside you are spiritually dying or dead, the Lord invites you this morning to come to Him for a spiritual renewal. The people in all churches, there are the people who are on fire for the Lord. There are in the leaders of the church who are involved quite a bit in doing things. But even leaders can be lost. You know that? You can be going through all the motions every Sabbath, come to church, do your thing, and then go home, and then God is lost for the week till you come back. And it happens. You know, I feel sorry in our church that we have lost people that have been in a church for 20 years, 30 years, and some little thing came along, and they're not there in the church anymore. They're not there. His words are simple. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for God this morning? Are you thirsty for a victorious life? Then, friends, come to Jesus and drink. He will fill you until you overflow and become a river of living water that will bless others as well. You see the picture of Jesus there? Knocking on the door? Where's the door handle? Where's the door? Do you see a door handle on there? There's no door handle on that picture. If you haven't already, you're inside that door. You're the one who has control. You're the one that needs to turn the knob and open the door and say, "Jesus, come on in. Come on in. Come into my heart. I need you." You have control. And the question I want to leave you with this morning, is your light shining, and are you looking upward to see that Jesus is waiting to take us home? And it's my prayer, my desire, that each one of us would accept Christ into our hearts, especially if we haven't already, and that instead of being a lukewarm condition, you remember the Laodicean church, they were in the lukewarm condition, neither hot nor cold, and what did the Lord say? "I will spill thee out of my mouth." And so, let's all come closer to the Lord. Let me have a closing prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, you are so good to each one of us. We realize sometimes that we aren't what we should be. We realize that we are all sinners and come short of the glory of God. But yet, Lord, down truly, we love you. We really do. And we know, Lord, that it's a hard struggle here upon this earth. We know just from reading the book of Psalms of what David went through, or the book of Job, that they all had their circumstances. But yet, Lord, you never left them nor forsake them. And so, Father, I'm asking that you will revive us. Give me that eternal flame that will last until you're coming so I will be ready to go home. Again, Father, thank you for sharing your word, your thoughts, your actions this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.